Hi, everyone. I'm Anita Lustria, and for many years I did live radio. Then I transitioned to the podcast world where I feel I found my home. I love talking about spiritual formation, justice issues, and spiritual practices. Throw in the Enneagram, movies, and current events from time to time, and that's what you get on the podcast. I'm glad you've come along for the ride. Welcome to Faith Conversations. Welcome to Faith Conversations, everyone. I am delighted to have Melinda Schmidt back with me on the podcast. Melinda and I, of course, were co-workers for many years, co-hosts of Midday Connection, and it's always fun to have her on the podcast. I should say the newly transplanted, relocated Melinda Schmidt. Welcome back.
We did it. We're in Palm Desert, California now, so made it through decluttering, packing, selling, buying, and now the remnants of unpacking.
Well, and I'll say this, you made it through snowstorms to get out of there as well.
We did.
Leaving Chicago is always an ordeal, and especially in the winter.
In the winter, right.
And I'm guessing you are enjoying the sunshine and warmer weather.
It's very weird to wake up every day and it's sunny. A couple days have been overcast, but people here find them to be cozy days. And I know you've said that about Florida too, but it's, you don't have to depend on the weather forecast too much.
And it doesn't take you 10 minutes to dress up to get out the door, you know, layer up.
Right. No boots, mittens, gloves, wool socks.
Yeah. That part is nice for sure.
Yeah.
Well, you and I we've talked about it here on the podcast before, but we text, and we'll get into these big text conversations, and it wasn't that long ago. That's a shock, right? but it wasn't that long ago. We were in the middle of one of those conversations, and, we got to talking about fear, and I think you had been in conversation texting a friend of yours.
Yeah,
and this theme of fear and, you know, came up. And I don't know how much backdrop you want to give here as we launch in.
Very specifically, fear about questioning our faith.
Okay.
And I'm speaking about this growing up in the evangelical Protestant faith. So, got into a text conversation with a friend, and I had passed along a podcast to her that I thought she might find interesting because she's a real thinker. But I think it stirred up some fears. And she started asking me questions like, what is the worldview of this person? What are they advocating? And, you know, that's fair to want to know where people are coming from. Then she asked me, as you listen to people who doubt Christianity, does it strengthen your faith? Wow, what a big question.
Big question. And I think it depends on who you are and how you're wired, too.
Yeah. Which, by the way, good point. One thing along the way in my conversation with her, I had to realize that on my strengths finders, I wrote them out here somewhere. Oh, well, they're all about learning and taking in information. Input, ideation, intellection, strategic, and learner. So I am naturally a curious person. And you know me, Anita, I get off on just researching and learning more stuff. So
you would have made a good Enneagram 5. You would have been a good 5. And it doesn't scare you because you like that research piece. It doesn't make you nervous at all, which I appreciate that about you.
Yeah. And to be fair, I had a turning point in 2007 when you and I and Lori Neff, our producer, and Janet Davis, the author, went up to Dee Breston's in Door County and on the shores of Green Bay, waters, we got a fresh view into what our faith in God could really look like. And that was a life changer. Janet bent us toward creativity.
Yes.
So we might throw that out there.
Yes.
We had to look for cards, art cards. She had her two big packed suitcases full of creative stuff and ephemera and all that. And we had to pick a card that explained where we are. She introduced us to personal authenticity. Yes. We had to make those posters. Who am I? Who I am not? I thought, she said, we'll give you an hour. I thought, I'll be done with this in 10 minutes. Do you remember at the end of an hour, we needed more time?
We needed more time. I'll never forget. It was an amazing weekend, an amazing journey. And that was the starting point of it. Yeah.
And she had made us present our posters to each other. And that to me said, there is a different way to know God or come to know God or have relationship with God that is not all a women's Bible study.
Yes.
Nothing wrong with those.
No, nothing wrong with those.
But other avenue toward God that was filled with rooms and doors just waiting to be opened, collaging, creativity, journaling, getting into authenticity, spiritual direction. Anita, you've gotten into spiritual practices.
Oh, all of that. I'm just thinking as you're saying it that our parents' generation didn't have all this. There was no emphasis on getting to know yourself. It was only and all about getting to know God. And there was only one pathway to doing that. It was reading the Bible and just that knowledge that you take in. It was information download as opposed to anything experiential.
And someone else teaching you.
Yes. And all right. Always someone else teaching you. And
another voice.
Yes, and spiritual practices weren't a part of their day, as you mentioned. Spiritual practices have been a huge part of my life and growth. And you mentioned spiritual direction, which is a practice, has just been pivotal in my own personal journey. And the creativity piece is really interesting. That has ebbed and flowed in my life, but whenever I move toward it, things start to dislodge and shift and change in me. And I'm kind of watching that again. It's like, okay, I'm moving toward that again. Okay, don't back away. Keep moving toward it.
I even think your spiritual practices like the labyrinth or the
Visio Divina. Mm.
Looking at something and asking questions that are spiritual. That's creativity. And also, learning to light a candle.
Yes.
And inviting that flame of the early church, the tongues of fire and Acts that landed on people's heads, to be a part of an important conversation in our home or inviting God's spirit, So anyway, that was the beginning for me. I don't believe that made me doubt my faith. It added to my faith. But as I became more authentic, I started questioning.
There you go. I was waiting for that word. That's exactly what happened. It didn't cause doubt, but it caused me, I'll add my voice into this, that it caused me to question things from my past, or as I saw other doors, as you called them, opening up to me, that my relationship with God started to change. And I'll add the word significantly to that sentence. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and I know a topic that was big for you and me and Lori back then, let's say 10 years or so, was complementarianism.
Right.
And egalitarianism,
yeah.
Which has been big in evangelicalism. Hearing less about it now, I think. But, of course, we worked for a place that firmly believed in complementarianism. Remember, we had a symposium with the president of Moody at the time.
I've forgotten that. You're right.
Remember?
Well, and I don't know if this came up in the symposium, but most recently I was reminded, I don't know if it was by Mike or by who, that that terminology did not exist until the 1980s. I somehow lost that, didn't realize that. So
I always get a kick out of it if you're doing a Word doc, it doesn't know how to spell the word, but it does know how to spell egalitarianism.
Yes.
But, we had that symposium, and Wayne Grudem's work on male and female roles, that blue book, highly touted. And, what I discovered is that there were equally evangelical scholars on the other side that debunked all that.
Yes.
So that started opening up this door to questioning. This was important because you and I and Lori were living into an atmosphere that was firmly grounded in complementarianism.
Well, and we were heading up a show for women. And so it was even beyond, you know, extremely important conversation.
Oh, my gosh. We should have done a science show.
A what show?
A science show.
A science show. We wouldn't have been in hot water. That's right. Hilarious.
So, and we started inviting freer voices on, women who are pastors, you know, but we couldn't say they were pastors. Well, this was all provoking conversation, plus the guests that we had on. And then we got introduced to Rachel Held Evans and
Pete
Enns.
Yeah, Rachel was one, Pete Enns. And I remember then Adam Hamilton, a book of his came across my desk. And that was eye-opening as well.
Evangelicals who were raising questions.
Yes.
And, you know, then we read The Critical Journey by Jeanette.
Oh, yeah, Janet Hagberg. Janet, yeah.
Her co-author and so forth. So things just started rolling for us, and we were curious. But, you know, they say when you are ready, the teacher will come.
Yes. And we were really ready. A bunch of teachers, right? We're coming, yeah.
But now, why do you think, where did fear and curiosity, how was that a part of your journey during that time?
Well, I think...
those two things.
Fear.
Did you have fear?
So I had fear. I had connected with a spiritual director. My view of God, I did not realize, was very small. Very small. My view of God started to expand, and it freaked me out. I remember being scared to death that I might not be able to stay in my job or remain in my family. Those two specific thoughts had me in a puddle on the floor, literally.
Because why? You thought you would lose your faith?
I thought I would lose, I thought I would grow beyond my workplace and my family, and they might not accept me anymore, that it might cause me to lose my job. And maybe over time, is partly what happened there, but... My family, they love me, you know, and I don't always talk about this stuff.
Yeah.
And they don't listen to the podcast. so there you go. Yeah.
So how about curiosity? Like, what kept you going on this path?
I think, and I will just say this, that we're fortunate. We were in a field where curiosity is a part of what we did. We had to ask questions, and we're always thinking of a better question to ask. And so I think anyone that already has the curiosity gene, and I'll give, you know, I'm grateful to my mom. She's a curious person. Her curiosity maybe looks a little different than the direction mine went, but I was just a curious person. And so, and I also realized that, oh wow, in my earlier years in Bible school, college, I didn't see this for a long time, but I saw that my curiosity was actually, people wanted to shut it down. It's like, no, don't be curious. This is what you should believe. I didn't see it at the...
What was going to happen if you didn't believe what they
said? I don't know. And I was very compliant, and I thought, well, I'm not going to find out. So evidently curiosity, I let the curiosity be shut down, and it didn't open up until later.
Well, something bad. The implied thinking there is something bad will happen if you question.
Well, yeah, you'll move to the dark side. You know, and
or you might lose your faith. And I think there are examples of people who did question and have lost their faith.
Agree. Yes, that can happen.
Now.
That's a good point for now.
That can happen.
Yeah.
And, you know, we do like certainty. We're either in this camp or we're in that camp.
But does God, this is the piece where it comes down to trusting God. So, you know, can we not trust God with our own journey, let alone with other people's journeys, of which we have no control over, really? Our children, we have some control when they're young, you know, the things that we choose to teach them and the church in which we decide to raise them, you know, that the faith stream that we bring them up in. But then they become adults, and, you know, we cannot control their lives. They're on their own spiritual journey. And that can be disconcerting sometimes to parents.
Well, we have a category for them, and it's called the prodigal son. So then we open our file cabinet and we put them into that folder.
But you know what? That's what I believed once upon a time. But that is not what I believe now. And they are not prodigal children. Because I believe that that questioning, that exploration, that is not, that's not a negative thing. They are still held in the hand of God, and they are asking good. Here's the deal. If we can't ask our hardest questions of our faith to God, you know, if we can't ask our hardest questions in that context, well, then what kind of faith is it? Right?
Yeah. Well, and I went to the scriptures on that, Anita. I'm so glad you said that. And I started thinking about people who wrestled with God.
Yes.
And of course, I think of the Old Testament Jacob.
Oh, yeah.
Who really, Joan Chittister has written about that journey of Jacob wrestling. Really didn't get a big answer, but the bottom line was he survived it. And she talks about sometimes our wrestling is just surviving the wrestling and maybe a little clue into God in a new way.
Maybe we have a limp, you know?
Yes.
Right.
I thought of Moses.
Yeah.
Wrestled. Samson wrestled with the rules of that Nazarite vow.
Right.
Naomi.
Ah, yeah.
King David, the Psalms.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe yeah. Say more. Just plunk right. That book on the table.
I wrote down Job. You know, that was a different kind of, but that was quite the conversation and some wrestling. And then I thought about, even in the New Testament, the persistent widow that kept pushing back on Jesus, you know, and
also the Apostle Paul, who we often are not reminded that he went off in the desert for a couple years. He didn't have this flash and see the, you know, go blind, see the light and get, no. What was he doing for 2 years?
Don't you want to know? Don't you want to know more about that?
He had some questions like, what about my life?
Yeah.
I'm the responsible for being a terrorist and murdering people. You know, so questions are a part of scripture, but here's the one I came to. And you actually, Anita, had written a haiku.
Yeah.
And I wonder, could you read that? And then I want to mention Adam and Eve.
Sure. Yeah. You know, I was reading a chapter in a book actually by Dave and Beth Borum, when faith becomes sight. And it elicited this haiku. The storm rages on. When life and beliefs collide, I get curious.
I just loved that. You sent that. Could you read that again?
Sure, yeah. The storm rages on. When life and beliefs collide, I get curious.
I just couldn't believe your last line. How did you come to, I get curious?
Well,
because I said, you know, probably a lot of people would say, I get panicky.
Well, or I shut down. When life and beliefs collide, I'm thinking, what could a final line be? I'm like, oh, I shut down, I push back, push away, you know? And I'm like, no, I get curious. And in my head, I was saying, I must get curious. Okay. And that today I do get curious. I used to be afraid of getting curious, you know, but I get curious. So it was a statement to me.
I got thinking about Adam and Eve. So they got curious.
Yes, they did.
And we know how that turned out. And I think in all fairness, we have to talk about that. This predominant story in our faith journey of our faith roots. And these people that really didn't have faith. And then look what happened. The whole world went down the drain, I guess we could say, if we believe that the whole world went down the drain. But, you know, they chose wrongly. They did not choose God's ideal way. But then I was reminded that Satan had already chosen wrongly.
Right. Yep.
They weren't the first ones. And someone was always going to be the first to choose wrongly. But they really didn't exhibit curiosity. They didn't ask God more about that.
Yeah.
And I guess there is this point where our will takes over and we have a choice. Will we go God's way in our curiosity or will we not?
Yeah, that's a really good point.
I don't have that all figured out, but in all fairness, I thought, well, you have to bring that up. Not everybody's curiosity leads them to the right place. Which, by the way, Anita and I are not Bible professors.
Thank you.
We're just thinkers talking.
And we're thinking out loud.
In our back pocket.
That's right.
But we don't claim to have the answers, but we are raising this question,
some
topics, just to kind of put out there that curiosity can really lead us to some great places. And that's been our experience.
And let me just say, this gives you a little window into our text conversations. You know, this is the stuff we talk about, among other things.
Hey, I wanted to raise a question, though, about curiosity and faith, and that is the Enneagram.
Ah, yeah.
Because depending on your number, I can see fives could be curious, six wingo, so they could be, get a little bit fearful.
Right. Anxious,
well.
Fearful. Yep,
very,
sure.
Very much.
I'm thinking of.
Sixes want stability. They're loyal. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they like traditions. So asking questions could be difficult. I'm a seven with some six in me, but some eight too. I can be an instigator and a rebel.
Yeah. You want a challenge.
And I want a challenge. Mm-hmm. I'm okay if things change or are different or, you know, more glitzy and confetti.
Yes.
And honestly, I can say my curiosity has led me to more of that regarding God. So what would you say about maybe some other numbers and how they would look at this?
Well, I'm thinking of the nines who might just kind of go along to get along. You know, they're listening in, but maybe sitting back and, you know, wanting harmony and aren't necessarily coming out with their own thoughts on it.
And their journey might be slower if they're
Could be. And then you've got your ones that, you know, everything's got to be perfect. And so I think throwing curiosity in the mix throws off everything. It's like, I want this to be buttoned down, man. Don't throw a big question at me. I already nailed this down 10 years ago. I don't want to start thinking about it again because it messes up the plan, right?
Yeah. In all fairness, it's good to bring that up because some people, that's just not a part of who they are to be curious, and they being settled is a good place for them to be.
Well, and I think what we also have to pay attention to is the kindness of God, because I think God comes along knowing who we are. He sees us, he knows us, and he will bring people along in our path, on our path, in our journey, that will ask the right questions at the right time or in the right way for us, no matter what personality type we are. Because God doesn't want to throw a grenade. I mean, there are times grenades fall into the course of our life. Divorce was a big grenade in the middle of my life. And that set me off on a journey. That set me toward finding out who my true self was and getting to know myself more deeply. I remember Jill Briscoe talking about her early years, and she said, I realized I was empty at the center. And I heard her say that, and I go, to myself, I am empty at the center. How do I solidify the core of who I am and get to know my true self? So sometimes those little grenade moments or big grenade moments are also a grace, even though they're hard in the moment, because they set us off on a journey.
So some people may be like content where they are. Others are beginning to have questions. And, you know, I have friends that have even sought me out with a little bit of curiosity, you know. Others are having big swings. And I have one friend that just went into atheism.
Wow.
So there is, you know, as many different people are in a room, we will have different responses. But for those who are beginning to question, I can imagine there would be some fear. The word progressive Christianity is, you know, big now, and kind of the lines are drawn on who's a progressive and so forth. But I know you mentioned kids before, Anita.
Yes.
And sometimes we're watching our kids, our millennials, who are fitting into the research. You know, some of our kids are at the local Bible church. They go to Beth Moore Bible study. They're serving. They're carrying on.
Right.
Others of our kids are questioning. Don't go to church anymore.
Yeah. Or they're at the Episcopal church.
Right. They're at a mainline church.
Yeah.
Some may have even journeyed into atheism. And so I think as parents or aunts and uncles who are watching nieces and nephews or close friends' kids, this can be threatening and scary.
So I think one of the things I want to say about that, because I've seen several types of people, one is the person who says that they're on a journey and they're questioning and they're researching, they're talking to God, and they really aren't. They're just kind of done with it. They've made their choice, but they say they're actually still on the journey. And there are people who are frightened, afraid of where the path may take them, where their curiosity may take them. And I think this speaks so much to stages of faith. You and I have talked about that a lot here in previous podcasts. And there are a whole host of people who have written on stages of faith. I talked to Brian McLaren recently, and he puts out a 4 stages of faith in his book, Faith After Doubt. I love, and I know you do too, the Janet Hagberg book that we mentioned earlier. On this podcast, The Critical Journey, and she puts forth 6 stages of faith with a wall thrown in at around stage 4. I think it's really important for us to realize that there are stages of faith. I think a lot of people in evangelicalism come to a point and they ask privately, like inside their own head, they're afraid to ask it out to anyone, but they're asking, is this all there is? Is there something more? Is it seriously? Is this it? And they've come to a place, and their church maybe has only brought them so far because the church that they're in may be only talking to early stage faith people and not moving them further on the spiritual continuum. And they're afraid to ask out loud to anyone at that church, is this all there is? They're not going to even breathe that out loud. But the answer to that is no, there is more, but we have to be curious. We have to keep asking questions and doing more reading. I mean, I think we can get lazy too and just go, I'm kind of tired of that. I don't want to read anymore or know anymore or whatever. And so, but I like people to be honest about it and just say where they are, you know?
Maybe before we end our time today, we could give out some resources, and I know that you'll post them, that we found to be helpful next steps. But I want to bring it back to the kids thing too. So this is a big topic for millennials who are questioning, who have left church. This has really saddened parents and made divides where once they used to connect.
Right.
But now the kids are like, I'm not so sure.
Well, and you know something it brings to my mind. I grew up in this more conservative stream of evangelicalism, and one of the things that I realized somewhere along the way is I had no idea how to talk with anyone outside the walls of my church. Mm-hmm. Well, that's now where some of our kids are. They know how to have these conversations, mm-hmm. And so the curiosity piece, which may be leading them to ask a lot of questions, maybe take some into the realm of atheism for a time or for who knows how long, moves them to a mainline church, moves them to places where you as a parent are worried, are anxious,
uncomfortable.
I think it raises for me that piece of trusting God, because that really was taught in early stage faith, but maybe not tested. You know, how do we really trust God? Have we trusted God with our own path and our own journey of asking questions? Now, can we do it with our kids? Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. just trust for, well, not just, they're important things for surgery, for, you know, COVID, for moving details, whatever. Yes. But do we trust our own faith journey, you're saying, to God, and our kids' journey to God?
Yes. Yeah, God, if as we have said most of our lives, if we talk about the fact that God is always moving, God is always working, God is always up to something, well, we say that, but what does that look like? How do we live that out? Are we living that out? And are we okay with that as it relates to our kids who might land at a place that, as you said, makes us uncomfortable? Can we trust God with their journey? Because we sure can't control it. That doesn't go well. That just pushes our family away. Maybe we have to learn how to have new conversations and talk about different things. And it certainly helped me learn to talk to people well beyond the doors of the church.
Two things that come to mind. One is that maybe this is our questions about God and our kids is part of our progressive faith movement.
Yeah.
Because now we're having to really ask, like, what does it mean, you know, to be saved, and how does God work, and what, and that is drawing us deeper into our own hearts and our own relationship with God. And secondly, I want to say, here's something I would say don't do. We visited a church here recently, and one of the pastors got up and he said, oh, the sermon is so good this weekend. It is fabulous. He's talking about the main speaker. And you will love this. In fact, you should send it to your neighbors, and you should send it to your kids who don't go to church anymore. And the service was this very blatant salvation, Jesus died for your sins. And I sat there and I thought, buddy, this is not what you send kids who are moving away from faith. You, as a parent, do not say, here's a YouTube to watch.
Right.
This is the Savior.
or neighbors who you're just an acquaintance with, that you don't have a true relationship with.
Right. Well, imagine my surprise the other day. I went over to the neighbors, and she has a little Jewish emblem that means life necklace.
Okay, yeah.
Hey, let's get to know who our neighbors are, where they're from, you know, what their faith journey is. But I just thought, you know, part of the progressing in our faith is figuring out, like you said, Anita, how to have these talks and relate to people who are not of faith. And I'm pretty certain, not that God can't use that in some way, that you don't send a YouTube video about how to be saved to somebody who's not interested anymore.
Yeah.
But there are other thoughtful conversations, and reestablishing your relationship in a new way.
Yes.
It's huge.
Absolutely. And I think of something that was mentioned way back at the beginning of our conversation here today. Creativity. You know, if you bring creativity back into the conversation, and not even specifically related to faith, but it's interesting the questions that creativity will begin to ask and answer as we engage with that. And maybe we engage with that with our kids. And, you know, yeah, I think that's, there are so many different avenues to go down that are not just with a bullhorn, which is what I call sending a YouTube to neighbors and kids, of some, is a bullhorn. You know.
Well, and I think too, as you're saying, Anita, these creative ways, like I've become fascinated with space. Dave showed me an Instagram last night about going into this burst of stars, and you know, it's just nuts.
Yeah.
You know, who, like Dave says to me, who of us really knows God? No one has ever seen God.
Right.
And we don't know hardly squat about this universe. So let's have some awe here and not think we know everything. But just getting into space, like being able to say to your kids, you know, I took this course in discovering the galaxies or the Milky Way. It blew my mind. It just made me feel like God is so creative. And it really kind of made me, you know, telling our story. No one can argue with our stories.
And you know, yeah, we'll finish that statement. No one can argue with our stories.
What we have is scripture verses and proof text and logic. Boy, I am really understanding that the journey of us for us as we age is to become the sage or the crone. We start asking reflective, contemplative questions. We are not a machine anymore. We're not facts and figures anymore. We're talking from the heart and to the heart.
And I want to add, I realized this whole conversation, I don't think this word has come up, and I think it is crucial. Love. And we do it all with love. If we do not love our neighbor, why on earth would they want to hear us say anything? You know, my pastor friend at church, Lori, I can't even remember how she came across this, but ran into somebody who answers, "How are you doing today?" with this, instead of just fine or struggling or whatever. Only love today. How are you doing? Only love today.
Oh.
You know, how am I going to live today? Only love today. Mm-hmm. How am I going to talk to the cranky neighbor? Only love today. Oh, you know, beautiful. What difference might that make with our child that we're struggling to reestablish a relationship with? Only love today.
Well, and faith, hope, and love, 1 Corinthians 13, but the greatest of these is love.
Yeah.
Not the faith, not the hope, but the love.
Mm.
And that scripture says God is love. Anytime we have the word love, we can attribute God to that. I love doing that.
Yes.
God.
Yes.
Well, showing love to the world means showing God to the world, in my estimation.
And we don't have to have all the answers. I think it goes back to that book title, you know, The Sin of Certainty. We don't, you know, I think certainty gets us into trouble. I think we don't have to have all the answers. But if we live with love, boy, that's the place to be.
And really, Jesus emulated love.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the religious leaders were not known for love. Mm-mm. They were known for rules,
yep,
and denominationalism and institutionalism.
And always trying to trap Jesus.
And tell people the right way. But Jesus came and he said, "Here, let's have dinner together. Let's have a conversation. What hurts in you? How can I help you?
I am the way. Love is the way."
Yeah.
Right.
And so there was this very personal interest. In fact, I know some 20 and 30 somethings who I know are not people of faith, but enjoy having conversations together because it's just built on love.
Yes.
And acceptance. Yeah. And acceptance. And there's a scripture that I think it's in Ephesians where we are called to accept one another, no qualifiers, accepting one another. Mm-hmm. So it's hard, you know, when we start maybe going down that so-called progressive or thinking or questioning or curious route, and we find ourselves sort of coming away from others, pulling away, and then maybe others who've gotten into a progressive faith, if we want to call it that, end up in a place of no faith. It may be our own family, but isn't that part of growing in God, strengthening our own faith for our journey and theirs, as you said earlier?
Absolutely. And the conversation continues on, you know, it's, yeah, that's exactly what happens.
You have this quote you found from Diana Butler Bass. Is that it here?
I think so, because we've just been talking about faith and love. Well, you just quoted from 1 Corinthians 13. She says, "Faith, after all, is a sister of hope and love, an aspect of truth, and a way of life. Certainty is a poor imitation of that, like one of the last copies from an old-fashioned mimeograph." Remember those? Alan Jones, former dean of Grace Cathedral in San Francisco, would often say, "The opposite of faith isn't doubt, it's certainty. An unpretentious faith, paradoxical, really." And you know, the opposite of faith isn't doubt, it's certainty. And Pete Enns, you know, his book title is The Sin of Certainty. And I think we can go there. We have gone there. I've gone there in my life in the past.
Well, and she asked some good questions. I thought one of which is, are you being called to let go of something now?
Mm.
Are you being called to let go of something now? And You know, if we all went to Colorado right now and stood next to a rushing stream and with a kayak and someone said, get in and do it, we'd be afraid. You know, so jumping into a new journey can be frightening. But if God is calling us to let go of something now, he's not going to throw us into a kayak, into a Colorado River. You know, he's going to cultivate a desire, some research, some information, finding others who like to kayak and go in a river. You find other like-minded people. Yeah. And I think that's what happened to us. You know, we were able to sit in our office at LaSalle in Chicago there at Moody Bible Institute and really question.
Yeah.
We only knew. And with friends, with a community of other believers, and they were in other departments, and they were in our team as well.
And I just want to say, if you're struggling right now, you know, keep your eyes and ears open for some like-minded companions on the journey. I know you might be looking around and thinking no one else is asking these questions, but drop a few hints, a few seeds, you know, and see if someone picks them up and says, oh, really? You too? I've been asking that. I think you might be surprised. I think
Didn't
you might
see
be
us
surprised.
Like that, I thought I was the only one. You yep. too, friend? I thought I was the only one. And again, that whole kayaking thing, research, purchasing things, purchase a book, listen to a podcast, find other like-minded, like you're saying. You don't need to dive into something. Even if you feel like your kids or family members or friends have done it, take your time.
Yes.
Do your research. That's and trust right. God.
Yes, time is always on our side. I believe that and say that often. Oh, well, good stuff. Hopefully it's gotten people thinking, and always a delight, Melinda. Great to have you here. Just great conversation partner.
Yeah,
so
I've enjoyed this a lot.
Thank you. Good stuff.
Dig into this.
And to everyone else, as always, I encourage you to keep the conversation going. Mm-hmm.